After Parshas Yisro, we enter into the Parsha of Mishpatim, and as the name of the Parsha sounds, this is indeed what the Parsha is about, Mishpatim. Different laws, primarily laws ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man, particularly laws of damages that are found in this week's Parsha. I'd like to focus in on one punishment that's found for damage that is caused. Take a look in source number one, the beginning of Perikuf Beis. If the thief is discovered while tunneling in and he's struck and dies, there's no blood guilt on his account. If the sun shone upon him, there is blood guilt on his account. He shall make restitution. If he has nothing, he shall sell for his theft. And without getting into all the details here, but here's the key. If the theft shall be found in his possession, whether a live ox or donkey or sheep or goat, he shall pay double. Person steals, there is a responsibility of paying double. Source number four, the Rambam tells us that Chayav L'Shlem Shnayim L'Bala Ganeva. So if you steal one dinar, you have to pay back two. If you steal one donkey, you have to pay back two, etc. Then the Chumash goes on. If a man permits livestock to devour a field or vineyard, whether he set loose his livestock or he grazed it in another field, for the best of his fields and the best of the vineyard shall he pay. If a fire shall go forth and field thorns and a stack of grain or standing crop or field is consumed, the one who's kindled the fire shall make restitution. And then we go into the laws of Shomri. If a man shall give money or vessels to his fellow to safeguard and is stolen from the house of the man, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, and the householder shall approach the court, they have not laid his hand upon his fellow property, and if indeed he is found guilty, again he has to pay double. And the question that Rav Rivlin asks, light of the Mefarshim asks, in Source 5, L'gabei din kefel, yeshal sim leiv, shirov dinei atara mechayavim et mishim azik mamon chaveiro, lashivat amatzav l'kadmuto, generally. So that's what we went on here. You know, if your fire went out, making a barbecue, and a coal went out, and it began devouring somebody else's wheat, so then you pay back, you know, the amount of damage that was done. Your ox went out and it caused damage. You pay back the damage. You don't pay back the damage plus. We don't give a fine added to it. You pay back whatever you're supposed to pay back. Therefore, it's a bit wondrous. What is it that the ganav pays double? So if he steals $100, he has to pay back $200. What is going on about stealing that makes it so much different than any other laws of damages or creating loss in another person through the fire, through an ox, through a boar, through a pig? Only in this case does the person have to pay double. What is this double all about? And again, as the Chumash states, that if you can't pay, then v'nikar v'gnei bato, you have to be sold into slavery. But the end of Source 3 speaks about how it's a positive, constructive environment to be able to pay back your debt. It seems to be really intense. What is the understanding of paying back double? That's our overall question. Our second question, and this is in Source number 3, Rav Munk in the Quill of Torah. There are two types of people who steal. One is a person who steals outright, and that is called gzela, a gazlan, robbery by force. And then there is a ganav. A ganav is somebody who steals quietly where nobody, you know, sees him, like in the dead of night. The gazlan, the one who is robbery by force, just has to make restitution of what he paid. There's no additional penalty. The ganav, the one who steals quietly, right, in the middle of the night, comes into your house, not in broad daylight, you know, not armed robbery, but the one who's stealing quietly has to pay double. The question, our second question is, what is the difference between a ganav and a gazlan? They're both stealing. Why does one just have to pay back whatever he stole, but the ganav, the one who's doing it quietly, has to pay back double? Those are the two questions that we are going to deal with. Before we begin with these questions, I'd like to just make sure we understand the point of departure, the mindset in looking at our questions and really looking at the parsha in general. And that is, how do we view Mishpatim? Why is Parsha Mishpatim right after Parshat Yitro? And the Talmid Chaim, the Chalvan, points out, B'mamakei ha-nefesh p'nima yesh afleya l'mitzvot ben adam l'makom l'umat mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro. People feel, wow, mitzvot ben adam l'makom between man and God, Shabbos, Kashrus, Davening, wow, you feel the spirituality. But a mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, you think, okay, it's a nice thing to do, but, you know, it doesn't fill you with this, you know, feeling of great spirituality, etc. And he says it's a mistake. And people aren't careful about ben adam l'chaveiro. And the classic example, we've mentioned this many times, is that a person will be so careful to be looking at a srokim, to make sure there's no black dot on any esrok. And in so doing, you know, he's throwing around the esrokim that, you know, aren't to his standard. He's puzzling many esrokim that could be sold that are up to many other people's standards. He's so careful about his ben adam l'makom, what his esrog is going to look on like, trampling on ben adam l'chaveiro, taking away a parnasa from the person selling the esrog. I mean, this is how careful we have to be, and this is why the whole way we look at the mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, man, laws, interpersonal laws, laws of damages, it's not just like society around us. No, the way we look at it has a whole different aspect to it. We understand it with such a different viewpoint. And that is because HaChayim, that Yisrael hem chelek elukam imah, lo rek benishvatam elukam bechumriyotam, and 8, that we understand that Kedusha, holiness, is not only found with inside of ourselves and our neshama, it's found in all the physical aspects that we have, and everything that we're involved with is Kodesh Kedoshim, is holy, is things that are invested with a certain amount of Kedusha, a certain amount of holiness, which is maybe not the same outlook in the secular world. And he continues in Source 9, and he says, that's how careful we have to be in terms of our work ethics, that we are maso matam bemuna, that we give and take with faithfulness, that we're so careful with dine mamanos, we're so careful with laws having to do with money, with giving meiser. Because or gadol nimsa gam betochaye olam hazeh, there's a great light, there's a great energy of kedusha, of holiness found in our world. And every time a person is honest with their money and honest with business, it's like you are revealing this tremendous light, this energy, this holiness that's found in this world. And that's how we have to look at these interpersonal laws. Not just, oh, every society has interpersonal laws, you know, every society has a court of law, and you have to abide by the, you know, the laws of the state, etc. No, I mean, that is true, but it's much more than that. The laws of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and that's why right after Parshas Yisro, we have Parshas Mishpatim, is teaching us that the laws of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro are interlinked, they're connected with the Mamad Har Sinai. It is too about Kedusha. It is about not just two people arguing over a piece of land, it's arguing over things that reveal holiness, things that, are we being honest, are we being at one with the holiness that was within us, or are we betraying it? Are we rebuilding it? And we have to realize that money is not the end goal in this world. The end goal is a closeness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And continuing in 9, the mitzvot ben adam l'makom noadu la'ir et ha'or shel olam ha'olyon b'toch olam ha'tachton. We know mitzvot ben adam l'makom, between man and God, create light in this world, be able to bring godliness into this world. But nevertheless, ben adam l'chaveiro also is about being able to reveal the godliness, not so much bringing it from above, but that which is here, being able to uncover it, being able to access it. And that's what we have to realize, that Hu Yitbarach, continuing in 10, is Nimsa Yitcha Gavavetcha Bamasecha. Where is Hashem found? Not only in heaven, He's found in your house, Bechol Pirtei HaChayim Shecha, in every aspect of your life, Kol Pina V'chol Davar B'chayinu Him Kli L'Gilui Elokut. Every single thing that we own, every single interaction we have is the potential revelation of godliness in this world. It's adding, increasing more light in this world. And that's how we have to view. This is the lens that we have to view all the laws of the interpersonal laws. And that's why we have to be so careful with them. You know, the famous kapitel, Tedvav, of David HaMelech, of Hashem, mi yagur ba'olecha, mi yishkom ba'ar kashecha. Hashem, who will dwell in your tent, in your place of holiness? And the kapitel goes on, holech tamim mufol tzedek v'dover emes mufofo. Someone who's walking with wholeness with Hashem. Somebody who acts with righteousness. Somebody who speaks truth in his heart. It's all about lo nata b'nesha. Someone who doesn't charge interest. V'shochal naki lo lakach, doesn't take bribes. Oseela lo yivot lo lam. That's what we're talking about here. The whole kapitel is about how do we deal with interpersonal relationships. This is what Hashem wants from us. And this is what we need to understand. Back to our original questions. When we're talking about why the thief pays double, what we're really asking is, what are we supposed to learn from it? What's the message from this? Because every aspect of interpersonal relations has a tremendous storehouse of kedusha, of holiness, of lessons, of messages that we need to bring into our lives. So we'll begin with our first question, even though we'll begin with our second question, even though we'll answer the first question. Of what's the difference between a ganav and a gazlan, one who steals outright, one who steals quietly, and why does he pay double? So Rav Rivlin, in source number 11, goes on and says, Madu eifu kaimim dinim machmirim elu rat beganav. Why does he only have to pay twice? So the Gemara says, Amar lahem, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yishvak kvod eved l'kvod kono. V'zeh lo yishvak kvod eved l'kvod kono. What's the difference? So again, the English is found in source number 1, where the Gemara tells us the following. The Talmud explains it's a greater crime to steal in secrecy than to rob openly by force, because the armed robber shows that he treats man and God alike. He acts as if he were afraid of neither, whereas the one who does it quietly shows that he's more afraid of man than of God. So when a person walks into a bank with gun in hand, he's saying, I don't care about people, I don't care about God, I'm doing this out in the open. That's his stance. But one who in the middle of the night is going to come to your house, you know, if any of you have been robbed, you know what robbers look like. I myself can't vouch for that. Just to share, it has nothing to do with anything. We were robbed a number of years ago. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a short person by the bookcase with a flashlight. And the first thing that came to my mind was not a robber. I was thinking, it must be Rachel, my older daughter, looking for a safer in the middle of the night. That's what crossed my mind. And then when I saw her in bed, I realized, well, then maybe it's really not her looking for a book. But it was just so funny how that was my first reaction. They come in the middle of the night, and once they're, you know, found, he was out of there. Once he heard I was up, you know, he ran, right? Because they're afraid of people. So here he says, this person who comes in the middle of the night is worse. Why? Because people he's afraid of, but Hashem he's not. To be able to say, I'm not afraid of anybody, people, and God, that's one thing. But to say, you're not afraid of, you're afraid of people, but you're not afraid of Hashem, is making a statement. And here, this is what Rav Rivlin says in 11. He says, "Havei omer tashlum hakerem hu kmo kol mazik hapogei b'rechush, pitzui al geneva atzma." You have to pay back restitution of what you stole. "The tashlum hakefel," the asterisk in 11. Why do you pay double? "Knas al aveira shel bizayon hakadosh baruch hu." You're making as if you're making light of Hashem. "Shasaga navadain shamala kilo no nere." People, I'm afraid they're going to see. But God, I'm not worried if he sees or not. You're making as if, kivyachol, that there's no hashkacha. That hashkachato, kilo inavitziya, it's as if Hashem's hashkacha is not found in the world. Kilo azavat Hashem at the aret. So why do you pay double? One, you pay for because you owe the money. Two, it's a punishment for the fact that you deny Hashem's presence. You're afraid of people. People you know exist. But Hashem, you're not worried about, right? The guy who's going to steal out in the open is making a statement linking both together. Here, he's saying, I'm afraid, but not of God. And because of that, he has to pay double. So the question Rav Rivlin asks on this is twofold. One is, well, shouldn't that be true of anybody who sins in private? I hope nobody sees me. And we don't make them pay double, right? Someone says, speak flesh and hara, you get double punishment because you're afraid, I hope no one hears me. And two, Badua kefal anignav, haganav nimsar l'nignav, im hubal chisaron emunav Hashem. If this is a lack of emunah in Hashem, so, you know, maybe you should give it to the, you know, the basic HaMikdash or the Beit Knesset. You should give it to God. Why are you giving it to the person who from whom it was stolen? And that's why Rav Rivlin gives another answer, which we'll get to soon. But I just want to explore this distinction between a ganav and a gazlan, and again, why pay double from one other perspective. And it's a very fascinating perspective, and that's Karen Tufyan, source 12. And he says, "Be'esberach iluk yish lomar da gazlan rashahu ve'no maskir ishuto uva b'gilui lafig zamamo v'chotef." When we're talking about the armed robber, he's a Russia, he's a wicked person, but he's not trying to cover it up. Everybody knows who he is, right? Making a public statement, here I am, ready to steal from people publicly, let everyone know I'm a Russia, I don't care. Haganav, the one who steals privately or quietly, is not this way. He's embarrassed from people. He's not embarrassed from God. Who rotze liyot mechubad b'enei habriot, kasher hadam lebli yurgash maaseu hanivash. He's making it out, and this is the two-sidedness, the hypocrisy. He's making it out as, oh, I'm a big tzaddik, when really, what is he doing? He's stealing. And the hypocrisy is really what we're paying for. We're paying for the fact that not only is he stealing from the person, but he's stealing what we'll talk about now, Gneivas Das. He's stealing from the world, making himself out to be somebody who he's really not. And for that type of Gneiva, for that type of stealing, you have to pay as well. And you know, this is why the Chumash describes, Lo tignevu ish bamito. A person shouldn't steal from his friend. You know, you make it out, and this is in so many areas, like you're the person's best friend, and then when you have a chance, you just stab them in the back. That's much worse than, I'm not saying you shouldn't be nice to people, don't get me wrong here, this is not saying, okay, if you hate somebody, let everyone know it. But there is something to be said by, you see, by the brothers of Yosef, that, you know, they were not Echav Apev Echav Alev. They were clear where their stance was at. And he notes this, the Karen Tuvia, in the next inyan, without getting into all the halachic ramifications, because there are plenty. But the story is of a person, let's say Ruvein HaShimon. Shimon, do you mind watching my computer? So Shimon says, sure, I'll watch it. And then it's gone. Reuven comes back and says, where's my computer? Now, Shimon could answer a number of things, but the Gemara speaks about, based on the Psukim, one or two answers. One, he says, it got stolen. I don't have it. It got stolen. If indeed Shimon was a thief, he has to pay double. Now, let's say Reuven comes to Shimon and says, where's my computer? And Shimon says, oh, it got lost. I just can't find it. And then it was found that Shimon stole it. He says to pay back the computer, get back the computer, and not double. What's the difference? So Karen Tuvia, again, there's a halachic difference, but the Karen Tuvia speaks about when you say it got lost, what are you saying? I didn't take responsibility the way I should. You're owning up to the fact that you are somewhat held responsible. Then you don't pay double. When you say, I don't know, it just got lost. It got stolen. It's not my responsibility. When you've taken yourself away from the responsibility, when indeed you are responsible, then you have to pay double because you're making it out as if, you know, you're a great tzaddik. You know, it's not my fault. It got stolen. When you're pretending to be somebody you're not, that's where you need to pay double. My friends, and again, this is what we're speaking about, how all of these laws are teaching us about energy, about how careful we have to be to the smallest iota of how we have to live a life of Kedusha and Tara, a life of honesty. And these mitzvos and averos, but adam l'chavero, it's not just technical, you know, go to a court of law. It's a reflection of who you are. It's a reflection of the holiness within you or the lack of, and how you can grow as a person. And that's the lens that we have to look at these laws. And indeed, as the Elie Shore brings down, the Gemara tells us about the 13, about the Aro, mibayit umichutz tispedenu. You should cover it from inside and outside. And Amar Rava called Tamid Chacham she'ein tocho gevaro eno Tamid Chacham. Anyone who pretends to be a Talmud Chacham, but a scholar, but is not inside like the outside. He lives as a hypocrite, he's not a Talmud Chacham. And he describes this, Rav Wolbe, so beautifully. He says, you know, sometimes people can compare learning Torah to water. And he says, Rashi brings down on the Pasuk, of ish shoteh Torah kimayim v'yesh bo avla. You can drink water like, learn Torah like water, and there's an avla, there's a problem with this. What's the problem? Water quenches your thirst, but that's all it does. When you drink wine, it makes you excited, it makes you happy. That's the question of what your learning is doing. Is it just impacting you that you should be able to know more? And we've spoken about this at length. Or is it changing who you are and what you're all about? And this is what is our responsibility, my friends. We have to be able to learn and have the knowledge impact us. It has to change us, right? We spoke about Esau's head being buried in Maris Machpelah, having that disconnect. Torah should be like wine. It should be like, wow, I learned something new. Let me implement it. Let me grow with it. Wow, it's amazing. That's how we should be able to look at what we're learning. And again, as Rav Dessler points out in Michtam Eliyahu in 15, he says, "Kol lecham yisrael michuyav litchanech b'shmiras kol mitzvos al kol pirkeim v'tiktukeim." We have to act doing all basic laws of Shulchan Aruch, even if it's external, right? Sometimes we don't feel what we're doing. We're just doing it. That's fine. Ulam adam shemistapek b'chitzoniyot, but if you're going to begin there and end there, it's enough what I've learned. I'm just going through the action. And you don't want to come to an inner world. And that's how Rav Dessler explains, right, that if you're doing it without the right intention, it will come to the right intention. That's only if you want it to come to the right intention. Just by doing it and you think it's going to happen, it's not going to happen, my friends. And Adarabba, Hachitzonios Tafriyu, the outer world is going to trip you up. Why? Because you think you're doing it. So you have this belief that, hey, I'm doing this. And then you work in with a feeling of complacency. And then you're not driven to try to make things deeper and make things better. And this is a challenge that we have, that when we act in this world, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be, number one, I'm doing these things, but I have to work on making them even better, even stronger, even deeper, with more feeling. It can't just be all my life going through the motions without being able to have that fire. You know, work with the emotions. And this explains, again, why he has to pay double. As the Admor Miyasharov, the Bir Moshe, points out in 16, the Shnai Mikra quotes here, that Shiva Ganavim Heim, there are seven types of robbers. Harishon Shibikulam Gonev Das Sabrios. You want to know who heads the list? People who steal the mindset of others. And we know, Chazal give us many examples, let's say, you're setting up a feast or a spread for a friend that you expect to come from out of town or somewhere visiting you. And then somebody else shows up and they say, oh, so nice of you to set up a whole thing for me. So that's Gnevas Das, that they think you set it up for them. In a nice, politically correct way, you have to say, you know, had I known you were coming, of course I would have set this up for you. If you weren't, then don't lie. But it happens to be so-and-so's coming from out of town. Why don't you join me and we can set this up together for both of you? Right? It's hard because part of us say, oh yeah, let me get out of this one. Sure, of course I did this for you. Inviting people for a Shabbat Suda or for a Simcha where you know they're out of town. And that way, you know, if you invited them, you knew they were going to be away that month or that week. All of these are Gnevas Das. And it's all in so many arenas, so many areas. But this, my friends, is drawing us back to full circle. What's the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlan? A Gazlan isn't stealing anybody's mind. Everyone knows he's a Rasha. A Ganav, and this is something we know is so challenging. How many times do you hear stories, and particularly in Gittin, in divorce, where, you know, people say, he's such a nice guy, he's such a wonderful guy, or she's so wonderful, whatever side it is. And inside the house, they're a monster. But on the outside, they look so special, so nice. People are fooled by this. That's Gnevas Das. That's what we have to be sensitive of. So because he's stealing double, he's stealing the item and stealing the mindset of people, he has to pay kefal. That's answer number one. The second answer, Minchas Mecha, we'll just mention, Chizkuni 17, Shechayav l'shalem kefal mishvei ha-gneva. Why? Because Emet Tzadku Yachtav, the Mishpat of Hashem, is true. And there's an idea of Asitim lo kasher zamam lo sot lachi. You give as a punishment, mita keneged mita, what they wanted to do. So let's say the guy wanted to steal $100. So not only does he have to pay the $100 back, but because he wanted his friend to have $100 less, so then you do to him what he wanted to do to you. So since, let's make it easier. Reuven stole $100 from Shimon. What did he want? He wanted Shimon to have $100 less. So what's the punishment for Reuven? To give back the $100? And because he wanted Shimon to have $100 less, so his punishment will be that he will have $100 less. He wanted to have one less computer, so he pays back the computer, and now he will have one less computer, or the price thereof. So this is a mita keneged mita. In this case, unlike the fire, unlike the shore, the ox that goes out, you didn't really mean to harm anybody. It wasn't like a conscious effort that I set my fire to, right? It happened. These things happen. You weren't careful. Yes, you're negligent. You're responsible. But only in the case of Geneva did you really want to lachzir, to take away from what your friend has. And because you wanted to take something away from him, you have to pay him back what the thing was, and your punishment is that you have to have taken away from you what you wanted to be taken away from them, and hence the double. The third approach. So if the first is the idea of stealing twice, stealing from people, going to das and stealing the object. The second is that kasher zamam, done to you what you wanted to be done. Third is Rav Levin's own approach, which is very fascinating in Source 20. The way the pasuk is written, it says, "Chayim yishalem," you should alive. You should play double. And halachically, the word "chayim" is very interesting in this pasuk. Halachically, the Gemara learns out that let's say in the section before a person sold a sheep or an ox, so if you've slaughtered it, then you pay four or five, depending on what was stolen. But if it's chayim, you still have the sheep or the ox, it's alive, then you pay just double. That's technical. But he says, on a much deeper level, the end of 20, Hatzadik yodea shekol masherachash bechayav naseh betzedek ubedin. A tzadik knows that whatever they acquire is acquired with righteousness. V'chol rechush sheyeshlo, and whatever property they have, utotah shel zman yakar shugdash l'tzorach rechishato. Whatever they've gotten has been using their time wisely in order to get this. Zman hichayim. Time is life. Kol rega shel zman hu chayim bifnei atzmam shelo yitzlu bepas, and you can't make that up. V'gam rega katan shel chayim hu chayim. Even one moment of life is life. L'chayim shalem haganav pi shnayim. That's why you pay double. Ki ganav lo rak et mamon chaveiro. Because not only are you taking the money of your friend, elagam b'midas mar chayei chaveiro. To some extent, you're taking the life of your friend, et hamamon, who poreya bekeren hakefel tmurat hachayim. The money is to pay back what you stole. The double is to pay back for the life that you, the time that you took away from this person as well. And here we enter into a whole understanding that theft, and we've spoken about this in the past, is not like any other crime. We know Ramas Yisrael Solomon in 18, that the Gemara tells us that he whose hands are soiled with ghetto, and as Eov says, there's no plunder in my hand, that one who has ill-gotten gains stick to their hands. It's as if the dishonest person has sticky hands, and when other people's money passes through his hands, some of it remains stuck there. When a person with sticky hand davens, when he prays, God finds it offensive. The stickiness of his hands is like a sediment of impurities polluting his prayer, making it murky and tainted, a tefillah, a kurah, an impure prayer. And this is very worrisome for all of us. We may have fallen into some form of gezel quite casually. Perhaps we didn't give it much thought. We may have borrowed something and forgotten to return it. We may have caused someone even a slight damage and not make restitution. But lack of intent does not exonerate us. If we retain money in our possession that is not ours, whether it belongs to someone else or is overdue to be paid to someone else, we are guilty of gezel. If we stand before God with a sticky hand, he may, God forbid, look at our prayer as a tefillah akurah. Why is there such an emphasis placed that if you steal something, you take something of somebody else, and you don't return it, you have such a stance that Hashem may, God forbid, not listen to your tefillah? Because there are many answers, but one answer is this answer. Because you're not just stealing a person's property. A person, if they're on the level that they should be on, and halavai we all are, whatever they buy is coming from hard-earned, worked money. It's investing time and life into that property. And when you take something that doesn't belong to you, you're not only taking property, you're taking a person's life, the chayim. This is the chiddush for today. And it just gives us a whole different perspective on how to look at the relationship between a person and the property that they have. Because again, in the secular world, you know, a pillow is a pillow is a pillow. What difference does it make if I have a pillow in my house or if you have a pillow in your house? And according to what we're saying now, it does make a difference. My pillow is something that I've invested with honest money to acquire this pillow. It takes on a certain dimension of me, of kedusha, of holiness. And therefore, to take that away from somebody is taking away something that is like part and parcel of the person and not just the pillow. We see this in the Or Gedayahu in 21. And obviously, it's a hard concept to wrap our head around, but we're going to take a stab at it for a number of moments, my friends. He says, the idea of the damages here, that your, you know, ox goes out and gores somebody, or some possession of yours harms somebody, he says, it's not by accident. He says, Shekinyanim shel adam sheyachim lo, our property belongs to us. Vakdusha shel adam, and the Kedusha in us has to extend to our property. Whatever we acquire belongs to us. And you have a relationship with it. Listen to this. If a person is totally righteous and upright, and there is no, you know, nothing wrong with this person, you know, they are a tzaddik, then their possessions won't go out and harm. If an ox goes out and harms, there is a fault, so to speak, in the person who owns the ox. Because it's the idea of a person falling off a roof, right? That megalgalim schusay de zakai v'chovay de chaya. Why are they falling off your roof? It's because you've done something that you deserve to get punished, that they should hurt themselves on your roof, on your property. It's a very intense idea here that our property has a real connection with who the person is. You know, it brings to mind, he brings the story of the Chamor of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, that didn't want to eat things that were not tithed. It brings the story of one of my favorite stories reading my kids. Not Now, Said the Cow. I think that's the name of the book or something. It's a kid's book about how Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta became Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta. Ben Torta means Ben Shur, the son of a cow. And it's a very famous story without belaboring the point. He was a non-Jew who bought a cow from a Jew, and the cow worked well all week, and then on Shabbos he refused to work. And he didn't understand it, and he brought it back to the Jew, and the Jew whispered into the cow's ear, you know, till now, you've been working for me, so you've rested on Shabbos, now you're working for a goy, you have to, you know, you have to work now, you know, moo moo, said the cow. It's a great book, if you're familiar with it. If not, it's a great book anyway. And he was so impressed that a cow would rest on Shabbos, and a cow knows not to work on Shabbos, that he converted and became a great scholar. This is the idea here, and it's a powerful idea, because we're not attuned enough. Again, our lenses aren't on in the right perspective. How our physical possessions are a reflection of who and what we are. And you see this clearly in 23 through 25 from Rav Avram Halevi Shor, the Lekach Valibov, it's missing here, 23 through 25. Where he speaks about Yaakov Avinu, who goes back for the pachim ketanim, for those small pitchers. Why is he going back and putting his life in danger? That's when the angel comes to fight him. He says, because v'adavar muvah in the bracket 24b, ki im kedushat Yaakov hitbatshet l'tok kinyanav, the kedusha of Yaakov went into his possession. Im kein, therefore afilu, even b'pachim ketanim, even in small vessels, there was kedusha. And Yaakov Avinu went back for them, that he shouldn't lose any of this Kedusha. And with this, he explains the Gevaldic idea of the Meshech Chachma. He says, now we can really appreciate how to do the mitzvah of Bechol Meldecha, that you should love Hashem with all your wealth, B'shleimus, in completion. If I really feel this connection with my wealth, that I've invested it, and I've worked hard in it, as the Man Nechaim points out in 26, that I have taken time from my Torah learning and from my mitzvot to make an honest wage, and I haven't taken shortcuts, and it's taken me more time, and you really invest in the money that you have, then when you give that money to Staka, you're giving b'chol moldecha with all of your wealth, because you're giving not only your physical wealth, but you who are connected to your physical wealth. Where he says, Ki madam no tein devar sheino markish l'seid karvu betzem, if you don't feel a connection with what you're giving, so you're giving the ma'ot shelo, but it's not yours. There's missing something, the b'chol moldecha. V'rak asher adam chasa mamono, if you're careful about your money, if you feel connected to your money. I'm not talking about being obsessed with your money. I'm talking about understanding that your money is something hard worked, hard earned, honest, and you feel that you have put into that money self. Then that Kedusha comes into that money. And then you're able to give it for love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've seen a few ideas. Let's just recap and then focus in on one final idea. And then we'll just make mention of a Ha'ara at the end, Amir Tashem. Idea number one is you're stealing twice. That's why you pay double. That's the difference between a Ganav and a Gazlam. You're stealing property. You're stealing people's mindset. Idea number two, you weigh what the person wanted to be taken away from somebody else, aside from whatever they stole. Idea number three, it's the idea that we just spoken about now, the idea of taking away a person's life. It's not just, you know, an ox going out and hurting somebody. Money is something a person, in a healthy way, is connected to, b'chol meldecha. That when you've taken away something that's hard-earned money to a certain idea, and that's the pasuk, again, it's quoted in Hebrew 27, chayim shnayim shalim, you've taken away life, and for that life, over that time, you owe money. The final idea is the klayakar. Klayakar is found in Rav Zaitchik, Or Chadash in 27, quotes the klayakar, and Shari Derech also quotes it in 28. Where he says, Tam lichvol yishalem shnayim, kein adam niftar min haolam v'chatzi tavato b'yado. This is a theme that you find in the Klei Yakar in quite a number of places, that a person doesn't leave this world without having, it's too many double negatives, when a person leaves this world, they still have a lot of desires in their hand. Yesh b'yado manahu mitaveh matayim, you have 100, ugh, I wish I had 200, that's how you leave this world. Why does the person go steal? Because they're not happy with what they have. They want more. This whole life, all he wants is to get double, more than he has. Okay, dino l'shalem kefel. Therefore, his punishment is to pay double. The problem that this ganav has, the root of the problem is, he's not satisfied with what he has. He wants more. He wants double than he has. And therefore, the punishment, midah keneged midah, because you wanted double, you have to pay double. It's interesting, Rav Freiman, quoting the Kol Yikar, adds that the word mamon itself reflects this. When you write out the letter Aleph, let's say, it's Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei, Sofi. Bet is Bet, Yud, Tav. Gimel, Gimel, Yud, Mem, Lamed. Right? When you write out the letter, it's written out different letters. The word mamon, the letters themselves, are that letter. Mem is Mem, Mem. It's the letter Mem twice. Vav is Vav, Vav. It's the letter Vav twice. Nun is Nun, Vav, Nun. But again, the Nun repeating. Mamon is money. The letters themselves, inherent in the letters, is the idea of doubling. Because when you have money, all you want is to have more money. So that's why he has to pay double. But here, Rav Zaitchik and Rav Freiman and Shari Derek quotes this, as well as Rav Igbi in Chochman HaMitzpar, and Chochman HaMatzpun also quotes this, Rav Zaitchik. It is the source on this Inyan. Is what do we learn? We learn that we have to take what the ganav has and be able to channel it appropriately. That's the message. Hinei kedai lo ladam. Let's take a look at Rav Zaitchik in Or Chadash 27, the asterisks. Hinei kedai lo ladam lavira koach hataiva vatshuka sheknuzam utzviya v'teva nafsho l'tzarato. We all have a desire for more. The challenge is to channel it. Shelo lifta paper, mashiyesh lo, not to be happy with what you have. Eliot saveo malev, madregashi sigvi igielah. Shelo liot saveo, not to be happy with whatever level you have. Elishokek tamid lo sif malo madrega madrega, to want more and more. Lit romain, vlishofos that. You reach a certain level, varus Hashem, go even higher, el higher, till you reach a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, this is also true in terms of a Rebbe-Talmid relationship. A Talmid has learned for many years by the Rebbe and God many wisdom. Why leave the Rebbe? If the Rebbe has helped you out till now, you should still want to have a relationship and go even further. And he says this is hinted at in the Gemara that speaks about that a person has to escort another person out of their house. And it goes through to what extent, right? You know, we know if someone comes to your house, you have to escort them out like that. Let almost, or almost out, you know, like 6 feet out, to show, you know, sorry, you're leaving, etc. So the Gemara asks, well, what about a Talmid to a Rebbe? How far should the Talmid escort the Rebbe? So the Gemara says, Ein lo shiur, there's no amount, right? As much as he can. And then the Gemara says, v'kama. And then the Gemara says, and how much? And then it gives you, if it's a regular Rebbe, if it's a Rebbe Mufak, how much? So he asks, well, hold on a second. You just said it doesn't have a limit. Now you're giving me a limit. He says, on a deeper level, even if it has a physical limit, emotionally there is no limit. A Rebbe-Talmid relationship should be, I want to learn from you more. That even if I have to physically leave you, I'm not emotionally leaving you. I want to still be connected to you. I want to still be close to you. And that's the idea in 29. If Yoshua, who picks himself up, leaves the camp, his family, for 40 days, in order to be by Moshe Rabbeinu the moment that he comes down. He can't wait a few minutes till he enters into the camp. That's the she'ifa that we are talking about here. And this is what we need to have. And this is hinted at, as we've spoken about in 30, by the Aron. The Aron was half. In all of its measurements, amatayim v'chetzi orko, v'ma v'chetzi rachbo, v'ma v'chetzi komato. And the Baal Turim says, why everything in half dimensions, 1.5, 2.5? Because l'meitcha komisha l'meitara tzarich lishmur v'lashpil otzvo. That anyone who learns Torah, they have to learn how to make themselves humble, which means that you always have to feel like you're half. That you never reach, I got it, I know it, I'm there. But rather, tamin malei hishtokikos, v'kesef, v'kosef l'gila madrigotcha tell you, no, I want to learn more. I can't, I got this idea, I want to even get more. I want to understand it more deeply. That, klalo shel dover, shetarich adam l'argish tamin churat chetzi, the end of 30. V'asi atzlacham urbash yegil shlemus ha-nefesh, shimalek rash baruch ha-mishol tab. Your mindset in life should always be, I want to learn more, I can gain more. If we now move in 31 to the Sharei Derech, he speaks about that when Moshe Rabbeinu took, we spoke about this a number of years ago, the bones of Yosef, while everyone else was involved in Bizat Mitzrayim and the spoils of Egypt, what was Yosef doing? He was finding the bones of, when Moshe Rabbeinu was finding the bones of Yosef to bring him to burial in Israel, all the Jews were just taking all the spoils. And there, Chazal, look at it, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvot, wise of the heart. So he explains here a beautiful idea. What's the idea of wise of the heart? It's because we all have a desire for more. We all have a desire to move forward. Right? That's part of the human condition. We don't like complacency. But most of us take it, oh, I want more money, I want another vacation home, I want a yacht or whatever we want, more clothes, whatever it is. Moshe was a chacham that he understood that this drive within him should be used for spirituality, should be used to get more mitzvot, to be used to grow. And he says here, quoting Rav the Stapler, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, whatever you have in this world, you're never going to have enough. And he says it's like when a person has salty water. You drink the water, it doesn't satiate you. You get even more thirsty. That's one who's going to invest in the physical trappings, right? Oh, I just got a new dining room set. Well, if I have a dining room set, I have to get a new chandelier. If I have a new chandelier, I have to get a new carpet. We all know this. It's a slippery slope. It's a shoelace story. That's Olam Hazeh. That's salty water. Says the Stipler, you want to know how to take this drive, take it into Torah. Because I'll tell you, your house, after you redone it, it's already now, 2 years since you've redone it. So now that original dining room table is no good. And you have to start all over again. It's a vicious cycle. And you're never going to be happy. And that is why that energy needs to be put into coming close to Torah. Rabbi Fran, and this is so gewaltic, speaks about, this is what the Kruvim were about. Rav Shmuel Ravosky, Rosh Hashiva Panovich, explains the Torah can be taught by the best Rebbe, to the best disciple, under the best condition, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Kodesh Kedoshim. But the person receiving it must have some childlike characteristics, enthusiasm and innocence. Only enthusiasm and innocence will enable a person to accept the Torah wholeheartedly and integrate into his personality. This is why Klal Yisrael Shea Kinar Yisrael Vaveyu. For Israel is a young lad and I love him. Klal Yisrael is beloved to Hashem because we don't become jaded and crusty. We're always willing to learn and grow like a child. Unfortunately for us, we're affected by the society we live in. The older we get, the more cynical we become. It becomes a true challenge to remain a young lad. But one challenge we must succeed in is allowing our children to be childlike. Even if it's difficult for us at 40 or 50 to remain enthusiastic, we should not squelch our children's enthusiasm and introduce them to the cynicism that afflicts us. Nowadays, you can find 10 and 12-year-olds as cynical and as blasé as their parents. They lose the childlike innocence that allows a person to accept and study Torah properly. This is a tragedy. Remember your excitement when you got your first chumash? If you don't, do you remember your children's excitement at their chumash parties? Or the first time they said Manishtana? They were so excited they couldn't sleep the whole night. Unfortunately, most adults no longer have that excitement. But even if it's an uphill battle for us, we should try our best to allow our children to remain innocent and trusting for as long as possible. And my friends, they'll be able to do it when we become, as we know, a model for them. So when they come home at the Shabbos table and they say it's our Torah, what's our reaction? Wow, I never heard that before. That's amazing. Where did that come from? Or, oh gosh, are you almost finished? Oh, your teacher gives such long, different Torah. Our reaction. The cynicism. Oh, that's what they taught you? Huh? They're still teaching things like that these days? We all know it, my friends, because we all say it. And we're all there. How do we respond when we learn something, when we hear something? Oh, that rabbi's trying to be firmer than everyone else in this community. What's the newcomer he's going to come up with? Or, wow, I never knew that. That's such an interesting halacha. Let me integrate it. Let me look into it. Let me understand it. Let me learn about it. Let me ask. My friends, this is where it's at. If you want to know the message of the Gana, if you want to know the message of paying double, it's double desire. It's the name of the shir. It's to learn from the Gana that we all have a desire that can never be fulfilled. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what do we do with that inner desire within us? Do we want more of this and more of that? And we, albeit we may not take by force, but we want and we desire and we try to think about how I can have more and more. Or do I, am I chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs who take that very desire, and again, there's nothing wrong in having. But how much things do we have that we don't need? And therefore, we're not connected with what we have. Do we need 30 pairs of shoes? I ask you, that's a question. Take that same desire for more and more, and be able to put it into, how can I grow more? How can I learn more? How can I say another kibbutz tehillim? How can, that's where it has to go. That, I believe, is really the message of our parsha. It's what Chana Hanavia says in 36, El Hanar Hazeh Palalti Chochman Matzvon, again, quoting Rav Zaitchik, for this Nar I daven. Why not for this baby I daven, for this Ben I daven? I daven that he should always be a Nar. A Nar, from the word Hit Narud, awakening. That he should always be searching and growing and never have this feeling of complacency. And this, my friends, is what the Sichus Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz speaks about in terms of the quality that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for in a new manhi. And the Pasuk says, Isha Sheruach Bo, a man who has spirit within him. And the Sforno explains, what does that mean? Muchan Lekabel Or Pnei Melech Chaim, one who's ready to accept the face of the living countenance of the king. Similar to, in the heart of all those who are wise, I gave wisdom. What does this have to do with in the heart of all I gave wise, seeing Hashem, if they're wise already, why is Hashem giving wisdom? So explain to Chaim Shmulevitz, this is it. Who does Hashem give wisdom to? To those who want to have wisdom. To those who want to grow. That's Isha Sheruachbo. That's the quality necessary for leadership. Someone who wants to have a relationship with Hashem. Someone who's not complacent. Someone who really believes in that pasuk we've spoken about so often. Harchev picha v'amalehu. Open your mouth wide, as Rav Freifeld explains on 39, and I will fill it. Forget the narrowness, the constriction. Open your mouth wide. Let the fullness of yourself emerge. Archei picha. Open your mouth wide. I'll help you find the national expression that you seek. And it's brought down in Source 28 that there are many Talmidim, and there are many very brilliant people who never make it as great Talmidei Chachamim. They're not missing brains. You know what they're missing? Desire. Wow, passion, enthusiasm. If there's one gift we can give our children, this is, there are many gifts, but one crucial gift in Avodas Hashem is they mirror us. What excites us will excite them. You know, and I see this, you know, when I come home with a sefer and I say, wow, I found volume 2 of, like, there's an excitement. Wow, you found the second volume on this sefer. Because It's something that excites me. It will excite your family around you. And when you're cynical, they'll be cynical. And they take the cues from you because they don't have any understanding. Let's summarize what we've seen, my friends. And then let's end with one final idea. Why pay double? So on the first level, you're stealing double. And how careful we have to be not to be gonev dat habriyot. That we have to be an honest person. Tocho kebaro. Who we are, it's what you get, it's all in front of you. And to be an honest person, dover emes bovavo, speak truth in your heart, that is crucial. That's lesson number one. Lesson two, you do to them what they wanted to done to that person. They wanted them to lose $100, you have to pay that $100 that you should lose what you wanted them to lose. Idea number three, and this is a crucial idea, that money, possessions, is something we invest in, we worked hard for, honestly. It's our chayim, it's our life. And therefore, when you take away someone's money, you're taking away their life. You're taking away, that's why stealing is so horrible, because you're taking away something that's really connected to that person. So sometimes it happens by accident, you know, your ox goes or your dog goes and creates harm, and you have to pay restitution. But here, to go out and consciously take something that belongs to somebody else, like this is their life. This is what they've invested in, and how we have to understand that we should look at our possessions as something of value, something of connection, that we feel that Kedusha goes into our physical properties. And finally, why do you pay double the Kleyakar? Because it's a reflection of what this Ganav wanted. He wanted more and more. He wanted double what he had. He wanted another one of. And therefore, what we have to learn, and that's why he pays double, that we have to take that desire, which is an inborn desire, and be able to utilize it healthy, positive, that we have that passion and enthusiasm when we learn, when we do mitzvot. Harchev picha v'malehu, to have this mindset of, let me expand, let me open, let me become greater, let me become a kli, a kabel, that I can just take in. But we know, my friends, everything can be understood on many levels. And there's paradise, there's pshat, remes, drash, and sod. And I'd like to share more of the drash, sod level in the Knesset Yechezkel from Rod Muntz and Source 40. Im hi matzei ti matzei biyado gneva mishur chamor atse chayim shnayim mishalei. Haina. Im hadam motse ba'atzmo. If a person, im hi matzei ti matzei literally means that if you find within you, in your hand, now we're understanding Derech Remes in a hint form. If you find within you pegamim, shepegam nefesh hakedusha, something that affects your holiness, whether it's shor or chamor, and those are models in Yeshaya of yadash shor koneir v'chamor v'usbalav Yisrael lo yadami lo idbonan, that you're worse than a shor and a chamor, you're worse than a donkey and a ox, which means that you find that you're not connected to Hashem. Chaim shnayim mishalein. Hainu im rotzel lachzor v'lavoli piyok hakedusha. You find im himatzet imatzot biyado hagneva. You find that you're the thief, that you're stealing from yourself, that you're worse than a donkey. You're not connected to Hashem. Then chaim mishalein. You know what you do in order to get kedusha? Shnayim mishalein. As Chazal tells us in the Medrash. Ma yasev yichya. You do an aveira. What do you do in order to live? If you're used to learning one page of Gemara, kore shnei dapim, learn two. V'imayalamu lishno perek achad, you learn one perek of Mishnah, learn two. Chaim Yishalem is for us. When we feel that we are not connected to Hashem as we should be, that we've done things that have brought us off track, Chaim Yishalem, when we've stolen from ourselves, how do we get chayos? How do we return back to a level of living? Shnayim Yishalem. You're used to saying one parak of Telem every day? Say two. You're used to doing one chesed every day without anyone knowing? Say two. Whatever it is good that you're doing, double it. And when you double it, in this way, you are connecting to the shlemus, the wholeness of chayus, of life force. And I think that is such a powerful and practical lesson for our lives. If we find ourselves that we've been cheating ourselves from where we could attain and the levels we could be at, that we're lower than a shor and a chamor, here the Torah is responding to our quandary and saying, Shnayim Yishalem, take what you're doing, find something in your life that you do every day, and double it. And when you double it, you are working on flexing those muscles of connection, flexing those muscles of double desire. And my friends, I wish all of us bracha and hatzlacha in being able to access this feeling of connection, being able to follow it with passion, with enthusiasm, being able to realize how special all of our possessions are, and to be people who are going to live a life of honesty in front of others and ultimately in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well.